come from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Amen. The love of God. What a story that is that we have. It can be told in many different ways, through many different experiences, and by many different people in their lives. What's so ironic about the love of God is that God tells that story in only one way. And we find that early in our lives because of God's grace and mercy, because of his love, that we are reminded that God loves us in so many ways. I mean, just as little children, we sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we learn at an early age about the love of God. We say simple little prayers as little children before our meals. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus loves me. Yes, he does. God is good. He certainly is. And these childlike images and childlike words that we have such a profound meaning in our lives and the lives of those that we're going to meet. And different people tell this story of God's love in different ways. But mature minds need to know that God tells the story in only one way, in all its power, in all its wonder, in all its grace. He tells us a profound meaning of the love he has for all of us. And you and I, we have no greater need than the love of God. People have needs for everything else in their lives. We do have needs, but we have no greater need than the love of the true and the living God. Because without that love, without that divine love that comes from God, there would only be darkness in our lives. Without the love of God, there would only be doom in our lives. Without the love of God, despair would come and visit upon us all the time. No matter what we're going through, no matter where we are, no matter who we think we are, the love of God comes into our lives. It calms us and it stills us and allows us to know that he is who he said he is. Our God is faithful. And his love shows that to us. The love of God was prompted the gift of his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God was personified in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. He not only came to love and to be loved, but he was and still is love for us. It's the love of our lives. Romans 5:6-8 says, for when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commands his love towards us. He commands his love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. The command of his love towards us was the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4, 9 and 10 says it this way. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He sent Jesus into the world that we might know what love is and live that love in our lives through Christ. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. God is love. When you think about that, I wonder what does it actually mean to you? Because, you know, we really take love for granted. It's become a byword. There used to be a time when somebody told you that they loved you, that you looked them in the eye and they looked you in the eye, and you know full well what it meant. You know what it did to you. You know what it called you to. It called you to be better than you were before. It made you feel some sort of self-worth to know that you were not alone. To know that love, no matter what you do or where you go, would be unconditional in our lives from God. An unconditional love. I need you to think about that, because when we vow to marry our spouses, we vow to an unconditional love. Yet there are too many marriages that are just so-and-so. Too many people have got complacent in their marriages, and they don't take each other seriously anymore. The love is taken for granted. We get too used to each other, and we forget that we love each other sometimes, more times than not. And we've gotten so close to God that we've forgotten that he loves us and we love him, that we take his love for granted in our lives sometimes. We've gotten too close to God to not to understand his love for our lives and know that it is unconditional. You can't do anything in this life to take God's love away from you. No person on earth, not one of us, deserves to be rescued from sin. But out of the matchless love of God, he sent the gospel of grace, Jesus Christ, grace upon grace. The apostles made known this grace, this Jesus Christ, to every nation under the sun in Acts chapter 2. And as ambassadors for Christ, they preached the word of reconciliation. And he called unsinful men, urging sinful men to be reconciled unto God. And the love of Christ constrains us to do the exact same thing. It calls us to a higher calling to be more than who we think we can be, and to be one in Christ, given a body to live in, to love in, and to give back to this cruel, cold world. You see, the love of God, it sets a lot of conditions for us in our lives. It's the love of God that makes possible the way of escape from sin. It's the love of God that enables us to be children of God. It's the love of God that allows us to know Jesus Christ as God's Son and our Savior. He says over in 1 John 1:31, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God." You know, one of the saddest things in the world is for a child to look at a parent and ask that parent if they love them. In deep despair, asking out of desperation, "Mama, do you love me? Daddy, do you love?" We don't have to ask God about his love at all. We know that God loves us. But the question is, do we love God? We love him. Talk about the love of God all the time, and we quote John 3:16 backwards. You know what 17 says as well? But our condemnation is much closer than we think, because we take the love of God for granted far too much. Far too much. And without his love, there'd be no inheritance for us in Christ. Without his love, there'd be no brotherhood. Without his love, there'd be no fellowship. Without his love, there'd be no you or no me. Without his love, there'd be no salvation. Yet we walk daily in our lives, and we're looking on to the things that better us and our own interests, knowing full well that it is God who supplies our every need. It's because of God that we live and breathe and have our being, and yet we take those things for granted every day of our lives. It's the love of God that does everything for us in our lives. You know, when people look at the trials and tribulations in their lives and the persecutions that come in their lives and the distresses that overtake us, People think about God, but they don't think about the love of God. They think that God has abandoned us, and that his love for us has stopped because we in some way being punished by God. But it was that old Apostle Paul, in all the despair that he suffered, in all the trials and tribulations that he went through, Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Not tribulation, because tribulation cannot take away the love of God. Not distress. Distress will never take away the love of God. Persecution will never take away the love of God. Famine, nakedness, danger. Even the sword that man can bring against us will never separate us from the love of God. The world is waiting for us. They point to us and they reproach us all the time. They point to our afflictions. And they tell us that we are afflicted because the Almighty God has ceased to care about us. In all of our distresses, sometimes we fall right into that trap, that deceit. But it's not so. In all of our sufferings, Paul said, in all of our hardships, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, I think we need to get back to the old ways. And just as the old Christians, the first century Christians, were taught to rejoice in tribulations, we need to rejoice in our trials and tribulations as well. Because that's actually where we see God and we see his love working in our lives. We know that we are not alone. It's in our hardships that we achieve a victory afforded to us in love. If there's never any battle, there's never any victory. He says, "For I'm persuaded that you can die and it won't separate you from the love of God." He said, "I'm persuaded that life can be as big as it wants to be, nor death nor life will separate us from the love of God." If angels were to come and visit you in your life, the angels will not separate you from the love of God. Principalities and powers are things that are present in your life. There are going to be things to come. Don't let it separate you from the love of God. There's nothing too high that his love can't reach, nothing too deep that his love can't reach, nothing too wide. There's not a creature out there that can separate us from the love of God. Because that love of God is in Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. Come and get it. Embrace it. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. It's the love of Christ that compels me to love God and love our fellow man as well. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. I can do it. Why? Because I'm nothing. I am absolutely nothing when it comes to God. And I certainly can't love like God, but I can love the way that God has called me to love. He's taught me how to do it. He's given us the truth and the way to do it, but we've abandoned that. And some of you have closed the book on love. But the love of God, we've got to know, it's a reciprocal thing. John said, we love him because he first loved us. You see, he did it first, and sometimes we play these childhood games. I'm not going to be the first one to do it. You do it. I'm not going to apologize to you. You do it first. And they do it, and we say, well, you didn't mean it. Well, God loved us first, and he meant it. And he still means it. And we love him because he first loved us. And what a strong motivation it is for loving God. We remember that he has always loved us and that he will continue to love us, and we can't do anything about it. Not one thing. Jesus said in John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You know, before we can live as Christians, We've got to know how great the love is as described by Jesus Christ. We've got to know how great it is. And once we fully understand the love of God and the devotion of God and the sacrifice that God's Son has for us, then and only then we can understand the true meaning of Christianity and the love that God has poured on each and every one of us. Just to be called a Christian is words that are just filled with love. No greater love has ever been shown, and no greater love will ever be shown than the love that Jesus has showed to us as sinful man. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And even in our sins, the love of God continues and will never end. Because he's calling us away from sin. He died on the cross so that we can have forgiveness of sins through his blood. He came to this earth and he lived without spot or blemish to show us love and compassion. And I'd have it one for another, and to die a sinless death. Why did he do it? Because love is eternal. And life with God is also eternal. God is love. He did it so we could have eternal life. Eternal life. You know, there's some poetry that I ran across that I'd like to read to you in your hearing. And we're going to close this lesson out about God's love, because we know full well that we take God's love for granted much, much, too much. It goes like this. What happened to your hands? The little girl asked of the man who was standing here. How did you get those scars? Did it hurt? I'm sorry, I don't mean to stare. The kind man smiled and he sat down and placed her on his knee. He says, you asked me about the scars on my hands. Love gave them to me. You see, I once lived in a perfect home, a palace so very fine, a beautiful place where no tears or pain or sadness would ever be mine. But people are just like lost sheep who don't know the way to go. They needed someone to give of himself. It's the only way they could know. So I left my home and came to earth to save man from sin. I loved them so much, and I was the one who would come help them the victory to win. I told them about forgiveness, showed love for all mankind. I healed the sick, made the lame to walk, and gave sight back to the blind. I fed the hungry, 10 lepers cleansed. I calmed the angry wave. I brought a man named Lazarus back out of his grave. I lived a life that was sinless. I showed them it could be done if they would only trust and believe in me, God's only son. I bet they were glad to see you, she said. I bet they were happy you came. Some of them were, he smiled. Then he said, but most of them cursed my name. They tried to change my words of love to trap me in a lie. Because of hatred, envy, and hearts of stone, they wanted me to die. They held a trial and accused me. Not a word in defense I said. Even those who called me friend ran away, filled with dread. They beat me till blood ran down my back, placed a crown of thorns on my head. Oh, how badly that must have hurt, the little girl quietly said. I stumbled as I carried my cross up the hill, my date with death to meet. I hung there in pain for hours with nails in my hands and my feet. All the sin of the world was upon me as I hung there on that day. It was such an appalling sight, my own father had to turn away. Why did you let them do it? She asked as a tear fell from her eye. Because I loved the lost so much that for them I was willing to die. I said, Lord, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. The little girl asked him, quite amazed, you died for the evil ones too? You were so kind and they were so cruel, I really don't understand why. She shook her head, tried to blink back tears, and then she started to cry. When they put those nails in your hands, she asked, was that the most painful part? No, he said, what hurt the most was the pain of a broken heart. When the man had finished speaking, she looked again at his hands, and she saw him now through the eyes full of love. She began to understand. You and I have no greater need than the love of God. You and I have no greater need than the love of God. And the story is told over and over and over again in different ways by countless people. in every station of life, the love of God is made plain in our lives. But it's up to us to accept the love of God in and as Jesus Christ. Love personified Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. We have to accept the love of God in order to live in it. He loves us so very much, and there's nothing that you can do about that. But you can love him back. You can love me, and I can love you, and we can love each other. And we can love till we just can't love any longer. You can never wear love out. Never wear it out. That's what it was about in the wilderness. People look at that and they say, you know what? For 40 years, their shoes and their clothes never wore out. Why? Because love never wore out. For 40 years in the desert, they complained and they griped and they groaned. Love never wore out. He called his son by names that dare not need be repeated. He said not a word because love never ran out. We find ourselves in situations where we face with the world and all we have to do is call upon God to help us, but we run out. We run out of zeal and we run out of love and we run out of all those things when it comes to serving God. And pride gets in our way. We have no greater need than the love of God in our lives. And no greater love will ever be shown to a world filled with sinful man than the love that little girl saw that day. The scars on his hands and on his feet. The blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. And we take those things for granted. The blows on his head, the lashes on his back. And we take those things for granted. I don't know what the story is that you have for the love of God. I don't know what your heart says about God's love, but I know what it ought to say. I know what you ought to do. I know how you ought to behave. I know how you ought to speak. Love compels us to be children of God. For those that are not children of God, love compels us to be redeemed. Because redemption is at the heart of the Bible, it's the grand theme of the scriptures, you see. Because the love of God preceded the plan of redemption. It was because of his great love that he reached out for us. It's the love of God that makes possible the daily provisions that we have for our temporary needs. We all go through something. We surely do. But we also go through life. And we live because God loves us. And the love of God goes through us every waking moment through whatever it is we're going through because this is life. And we hope of a better life because God loves us. Oh, sometimes this old stinking life that we live with the arthritis and the pain and the medicines and all those temporal things that plague us on a daily basis. We hope for a better life. Because God loves us. And we take courage and rejoice, knowing full well that all this is going to come to an end one day. You know, they make artificial tears. Now, I have to put some in my eyes because of the surgery. But one day there won't be any more tears at all to cry. It's because of God's love. Because of his love. You know, one of the saddest things I came to realize early on in my life, I think I might have been in my early 20s. And constantly in my life, I used to see on the news and read articles about spousal abuse, men and women as well. And I realized in my life that, you know, when women stop crying in a relationship, it's done. When a man can say something to her and he's trying to hurt her and she doesn't cry anymore and she just gives you the look, there's no more love there. Because he's pushed it away. He's pushed it away. We tried to push God's love away as well. Does God shed tears for us? Sure he does. Should we shed tears? Should we weep together one for another? Because the love of God compels us to do that. Don't ever stop crying. When God approaches us, don't ever stop crying. Don't ever allow it to be open. Weep and mourn, for our sin is much greater than we can ever imagine, but the love of God is greater. The love of God is greater. Reach out for it and tell the story. Let people know that we rejoice because love came into the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was the love of God in and as Jesus Christ. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Some people don't even know what love is, don't even know how to love. What a shame it is to miss out on one of the greatest things that we're going to ever have in our lives. One of the greatest things we can ever give or receive in our lives is love. The love of God and the love from one another. And you know what's so wonderful about that? A lot of people feel like they can do that, but they just deceive themselves. One thing about love is this: you can't fake it. Isn't that right? Oh, you can't fake it. I know whether you love me or not. You know whether I love you or not. And we know that God loves us because he doesn't try to fake it. Our God is faithful. He's always been faithful. I don't know what you use for your barometer of love, but it ought to be God. It ought to be. Because it didn't originate with us. And it will never originate with us. Our love comes from God. You can't fake it. No sense in sitting there trying to fake it. Huh. Stop allowing the words, I love you, to be a byword. I'm taking it for granted. When you say it, know what it means, understand it. What does it mean when you tell somebody you love them? What does that mean? You need to know what it means. It needs to mean something. God is love. He's always been and always will be. He loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son. As whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We can have it. The love of God and eternal life in heaven with him forever and ever. If we can help you tonight to receive the love of God, why don't you come as we stand and sing his invitation song.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me.